I teach actually the book of Daniel, or at least I used to in our Bible college. And Daniel is a character in the Bible that really stands out. In fact, I would dare say he's probably one of the top five men in the Word of God, because he's a man that you'd be hard-pressed to find any flaw in, humanly speaking. And so we're going to be talking tonight about his determination, and I'm going to be challenging God's men to be determined, to persevere, and to stand our ground. We pick it up in verse number 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning, and knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Now watch verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. We're going to be talking about his determination tonight as we talk about determined Daniel. Let's pray before we begin. Father, we come before thee so thankful to be able to assemble on this beautiful spring night here in this beautiful area with God's men and your word. We just pray that you would help us at this time to be encouraged, to be strengthened and admonished, and to keep on keeping on, and to finish what we have started, and to be found faithful. We pray now and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, there was a Japanese soldier, and he appeared in a newspaper in Japan because he would not come down from a mountain in the Philippines where he had been sent up by his commander in World War II. He was 51 years old at the time, finally, and they found him up there, and they said, "What are you doing up here?" And he said, "I can't come down from the mountain until my commander lets me come down. He ordered me to stay here until he orders me back down again." And his picture appeared in a newspaper, and a relative of his recognized it and went up there in the mountain and said, "The war's been over for a long time. You can come down now." But you have to appreciate the tenacity and the determination and the obedience and the perseverance and the steadfastness of somebody like that. We have in the book of Daniel really a story we don't have time to go into, but I'm sure you'll be hearing more about it in the next couple of days. But we find that it mentions Daniel here is a child in verse number 4. It says, "Children in whom was no blemish." Now, how old would that make him? The Hebrew word here actually for children would normally denote somebody late teens or early 20s, and we know that because it's the exact same word that's used to describe Joseph when he was 17 years of age. So we connect the dots and we say, okay, maybe he was 17, 19, 21, something like that. So at the time this opens, he's a young man like some of the young men here that maybe just sung a moment ago. We find out in verse number 1, it was in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim. That would make it about 605 B.C. And we find that in verse number 21, it says that Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. That would be 536 B.C. So we're talking about a young man who was aged, let's just say 18 to 20, for the next 70 years, staying faithful until the Babylonian kingdom fell and the Medo-Persian kingdom rose. And during those decades, Daniel was faithful. But it all starts right here. And it all starts really with this statement in verse number 8. It says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat." It says he determined in his heart. He purposed in his heart. It's the Hebrew word psalm. And it means basically he made up his mind. He made up his mind. Over in the New Testament, we find in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 9 and verse 62, Jesus says, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." That's a verse that ought to challenge us. If God has called us to do something, if we put our hands to the plow, we should not look back. Daniel never looked back. And we speak of his stability, we speak of his steadfastness. We read over in 2 Peter 3 and verse 17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked," notice, "fall from your own steadfastness." The Bible speaks of falling from that state of steadfastness, and I want to challenge men, I want to challenge young men to persevere. Webster defines determination as steadiness or endurance or consistency or backbone or steadiness. It's being strong, it's being set, it's being secure, it's being solid and unwavering and valiant to the end. And that's what it means to be determined. And I know that a number of folks start off strong, but many of them fall off, don't they? And I think we all know casualties and statistics along those lines, people who shipwreck. You know, it's rare to find somebody who starts strong and finishes strong. I was thinking of my salvation 36 years ago and the early days in Crookston. And on March 5th, 1981, I got saved in Pastor Doss's office. And I meant it. When I got saved, I planned on finishing what I had started that night. That was 36 years ago. I pray that by God's grace, 36 years from now, I'll still be able to say that. As we consider this thing of perseverance, let's talk about a few things. First of all, let's talk about the sad antithesis or the opposite of perseverance, of being steadfast. There are very few men in the Bible that you can say there was really no flaw in them. There's some that come close. There's guys like Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and Noah was faithful and the one man that really preserved the human race, and he did everything right, but yeah, then he blew it at the end, didn't he? And he planted that vineyard and he got drunk. We could talk about Moses, that hero of the Jews, and really a great man, one of the greatest in the Bible, but Moses lost his cool and did not go into the promised land. We could talk about Samuel. Samuel was a really great man, but his kids were sour. And we could talk about David. He did a lot of great stuff, and he's mentioned over 900 some times in the Bible, but we know the story there, and we know the story of Solomon. Though he loved God, he fell off. And we could talk about others like Hezekiah, and did so much good, but he had his issues, and Jeremiah had his issues, and we get over to the New Testament, and we find, of course, Peter, even after he was back on the top side, still blowing it in Galatians 2, and we see Paul. I mean, what did Paul do wrong? Well, Paul takes a foolish Jewish vow toward the end of his life. And we could even talk about John the Baptist was the greatest of those born of women, but, you know, he even had his moment of doubt. But here's Daniel. And you read from the beginning to the end, and you'd be hard-pressed to find anything wrong with him. I mean, that's rare. Because human nature normally it tends to capitulate or to cave in or to compromise. As I think of Pastor Doss, I think of an old saying of his. He used to always say, "Any old log can float downstream." Remember hearing that? Any old dead log can float downstream. You know, there's so many in the Bible that are the sad antithesis of really what we ought to be. We ought to be stable, but we find so many unstable. I think of Reuben back there in Genesis. In Genesis 49 and verse 4, his dad has to say to him, "Reuben, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel." That's pretty unstable. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. And in over 30 years now pastoring Fargo Baptist Church, I've seen a number of people that were unstable and a sad number. We read in James 1 and verse 8 that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man. It bleeds over. He's unstable in all his ways. I don't know if we can make enough of this business of stability and perseverance. Hold your finger here, but turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 23. Or Proverbs 20. In Proverbs 20, we find a familiar verse to men of God, obviously, but it's really convicting. In Proverbs 20 and in verse number 6, the Bible says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Speaks of it like a rare commodity. A faithful man, who can find? Our natural tendency, our depraved tendency, is to cave in, it's to compromise. Look, if you would, in chapter 25 of Proverbs. In Proverbs 25, another convicting verse. Verse 19. It says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Who needs them? I mean, who needs that? Confidence, you ever put confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of need? And they let you down. Now here's Daniel. He's a long ways from home. He's 18, 19, 20, 21, has normal tendencies like any young man to, you know, get in the flesh. And mom and dad are a long ways away, if they're even alive anymore. And he's got this offer dumped in his lap of everything, all the sin and vice and wickedness that Babylon has to offer. And he turns it down. He turns it down really when mom and dad aren't around, nobody's around to make him do the right thing, but he has that character. Character is really what we are when nobody's around to make us do right. And Daniel had that kind of character. We see it here, first of all, the sad antithesis, but secondly, we see what we call the scriptural admonitions. The scriptural admonitions. I think many of us have heard of Eric Little. He was a runner. And in 1924, he competed for Scotland in the Olympics in Paris at that time, in the 100-meter run. He was picked to win gold, and everyone thought he was a shoo-in, but the race was going to be run on Sunday, and Eric Little was a Christian. And he had strong convictions. And he said, I'm not going to run on the Lord's Day. And there were a few that admired him. Most of them thought, he's a fool. But he stood his ground. Later on, during a weekday, the 400 meters to be run, and the Scotsman who normally ran it pulled up lame, and Eric Little volunteered to run it, but that was four times the length he was used to. But he had this really weird style. If you've ever read up on him, his head just bobbed all over the place, and his arms flailed all over the place, and he could just run like the wind. And that day, he set a world record. And he ran the 400 in 47.6 seconds and won the gold. He later went as a missionary to China, and in World War II, he actually died in a war camp in 1945, but he stood faithful unto the end. He was a man of convictions. We find a scriptural admonition throughout God's Word to finish what we start. And we find that Daniel, in verse 8 of chapter 1, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. I believe as a result, he was an encouragement to the other three Hebrew lads, and we find them later on in chapter 3 standing their ground. I think because Daniel did so. We find these scriptural examples and the scriptural admonition throughout God's Word of those who stood strong. I mentioned Hezekiah a moment ago. The Bible says in 2 Kings 18:6, for he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. Hezekiah was one who stood his ground. His great-grandson, Josiah, in the same way, chapters later we read in 2 Kings 22:2 that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of David his father and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. You know, somebody has so well said that the greatest ability just might be availability, or maybe the greatest ability just might be dependability, just showing up every day. Do we just show up? Do we finish what we start? Are we in this thing for the long haul? You see the Apostle Paul, and you read his resume over in 2 Corinthians, and we won't turn there, but he talks about five times being whipped 40 times, three times being beaten with rods, three times suffering shipwreck, being stoned to death. He speaks of perils, perils in the water, perils amongst robbers, perils amongst the Jews, perils amongst the heathen, and perils amongst false brethren, and the pain, and the hunger, and the fasting, and the cold, and the suffering. And he just kept on going through all of that. And we read in Acts 20 and verse 24, he said, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus." Notice he says, "I'm going to finish this thing." He spoke in another place of pressing toward a mark. He finished his course. He went through the mill, but he just kept going. Kind of like that Energizer Bunny, right? He just kept going. And Paul was qualified, really, to give these kind of admonitions, these scriptural admonitions. He gave a few other ones. We read over in Philippians 4 and verse 1, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord." Stand fast in the Lord. There was a farm kid. He was a poor kid. Dad was a poor farmer. But that kid had a horse. It wasn't much of a horse. In fact, it was an old beat-up horse. It's kind of humped back. And the mane was all matted, and the teeth were all rotted, and it was all droopy. Its knees were knobby, and everything about that horse was pitiful. And one day the salesman came to the yard and saw the boy combing out the horse's mane, and he said, "Son, is that a good horse?" The boy said, "Oh, yeah, it's a great horse." Salesman said, "Can he run fast?" The boy couldn't lie. He said, "No, sir, he can't run fast, but he can stand fast. He can stand fast." And Paul talks here about standing fast in the Lord. We read in another place, 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 15. Paul says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." Paul did that. You think he's glad in heaven tonight that he finished what he started? That he went through all that and he stood fast? You know, in Revelation chapter 2, we find in verse 10 that it mentions the crown of life. And the crown of life is given to those who endure unto the end. They just keep on going. I don't know about you, but times can get rough. And probably the roughest year of my ministry so far was last year. 2016 looks really good in the rearview mirror, and I think Brother Tweeton knows what I'm talking about there. But, you know, some good stuff has come as a result of that. And honestly, if you stay in the saddle and you just keep on going, it'll pass. It'll pass. Kind of reminds me of the old black preacher. And somebody asked him his favorite verse. He said, "Well, it's actually a number of verses. It's those verses that say, 'And it came to pass.'" He said, "I'm so glad that troubles don't come and stay. It came to pass. And I'm so glad that they passed." If we'll stay in the saddle, if we will stay faithful. And I think the greatest example, obviously, of endurance and perseverance would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read in Luke 9 and verse 51 that when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He set his face to finish what the Father had called him to do. We read something written 700 years earlier in Isaiah 50 and verse 7 about Christ. It's Christ talking. "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." Our Savior set his face like a flint. And Daniel did as well. We see the sad antithesis, and we see the scriptural admonitions, but thirdly, let's talk about the strong attributes of perseverance. Now, we're in the north, and most of us probably have never seen a banana tree, and they look flimsy, and they look kind of, you know, frail and weak, but a banana tree is very sturdy, it's very resilient. You would be hard-pressed to kill them. A typhoon will come through and wipe out everything but the banana trees. They're still sitting there. Now, a fire will come through the jungle and wipe out nearly everything. There's those banana trees scorched, but they just grow right back. And you can hack one 1,000 times into pieces, and it still keeps growing up from the root. And the only way to get rid of it is to dig it up by the roots. It is that sturdy. Now, how can we remain faithful? Well, look in Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Keep your place here, but turn to the New Testament. I think all of us know casualties and statistics and people who've fallen by the wayside and men who've fallen by the wayside. And I'm not a doom and gloom guy, but you know, Christ said that when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith? It's going to get tougher and harder to find people who finish what they start. And so we need this strong attribute of perseverance. We find here in Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse number 13, Paul says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect or complete or mature man, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth or from this time forward be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Notice verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We don't have to flounder around. I know folks who have floundered for years. In fact, I know folks who you thought they were grounded and then they slip into Calvinism, or they slip on local church doctrine, or they slip on the ordinances. And look, we've got to be grounded. Daniel could have fudged, but evidently his folks put something in him. He had something in him, some character deep down, and I believe there's a connection. So we find the strong attribute of perseverance is connected to getting grounded. But secondly, if we're going to finish this thing, we're going to have to resist temptation. We find this verse, 1 Peter 5:8 says to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We are going to have to resist him. We're going to have to resist temptation. And I'm telling you, the temptations today for men are countless, guys. There are solicitations on every hand. And there are things that are causing men to stumble and fall and mess up that really, when I started 30 years ago, we didn't deal with that kind of stuff. But it is everywhere now. The temptations abound everywhere. We've got to resist those temptations. I heard of a guy who trained dogs. And he had this dog that he would set a pile of fresh meat down on the floor. And of course, everything in that dog said, woof it down. But the master would say, no. The dog would look at that meat and he'd start trembling. And the master would say, no. And the dog would look up and he'd look at the master. And he didn't even want to look at the temptation anymore. That's wise, isn't it? And even more so, he looked into the face of the master. I think there's something here for us to overcome temptations. Look at the master's face. Now, thirdly, to overcome and to finish strong, we need to, let me put it this way, cooperate within a local church. And what do I mean by that? In Philippians 1 and verse 27, it says that ye stand fast, there's that expression again, in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together, one spirit, one mind, and then it's connected to standing fast in one spirit. May I just say that in these last days, we see folks backsliding. We see in our churches pride, and we see in our churches a desire for power, and we see a people in the pews bristling and acting up. It says to stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. May I just admonish us in these last days? Let's be peacemakers. Let's not be troublemakers. The devil just loves that stuff. May I also say, fourthly, if we're going to finish strong, we're going to have to keep our balance. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It's so easy to go to extremes, isn't it? Especially in the ministry. We don't want to be compromisers, of course, but we don't want to be Pharisees either. There's got to be that balance. It mentions here that liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and not being entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And again, it mentions standing fast. I think Pharisees are heading for a fall. I think compromisers are heading for a fall. And I see within Daniel and his friends, men who took their stand, but they did it with a good attitude, and they did it graciously. And every time where you find their faith challenged, they're not in the face of the authority. They're being respectful and asking. And even here in chapter 1 of Daniel, he requests that he might not do that and defile himself. And later on, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego graciously say, I'm sorry, we can't bow down. If it means the fiery furnace, so be it. They're not in Nebuchadnezzar's face. And later on, with Daniel being thrown in the lion's den, he didn't make some big, you know, splash about continuing to pray. He just continued to do it. He took his stand, but he was gracious in taking that stand. May I say, fifthly, if we're going to finish strong, we're going to need to cleave to the Lord. We're going to need to cleave to the Lord. In Acts 11:23, it mentions Barnabas, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. That word cleave means to adhere to and to stay tight to. And fellas, if we're going to finish strong, we better stay close to the Lord. You know, I was in Africa back in January, and we had this safari ride there in Botswana. And we got to see lions, and we got to see gazelles, and we got to see zebras. And the tour guide was telling us that the zebras who get picked off by the lions are the ones who get off on their own. And in the same way, there's a lion, and the Bible tells us to beware of him. He's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And if we're going to sidestep him, if we're going to avoid the landmines that are out there, we better stay close to the Lord, guys. We better stay close to the local church as well. Well, we've looked at the sad antithesis. We've looked at the scriptural admonition and the strong attributes. Finally, let's talk about the spiritual advantages of finishing strong, of being a Daniel. Daniel was a steady Eddie. Back when I was in Bible college, and I'm having a lot of memories looking at this pulpit here tonight, we had a lot of guys who made a lot of noise back in those days. And boy, I'll tell you what, they'd talk about, oh, I know I'm going to this place or that place, and they'd tell you about their prayer life. We had one guy who'd walk in a few times every week and kind of yawning and stretching and going, you know, there's just nothing like an all-night prayer meeting to get you close to the Lord. And we're going, okay, barely he has his reward, you know. But we had these guys who were flashy, and we've had them in our Bible college as well, quite honestly. And you know something? I probably went to Bible college with about a dozen guys. And I'll bet of those men, a third of them are serving the Lord tonight. And the other two-thirds, you know, they're not only not serving the Lord, a bunch of them probably aren't even in church anymore. Give us some steady Eddies who finish what they start. We read in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Can we just keep plodding along? Be that steady Eddie. How many of you guys have heard of Cy Young? Or at least the Cy Young Award? If you follow baseball at all, you know that every year they award the major league pitcher with the best record the Cy Young Award. But who was Cy Young? Well, Cy Young won 511 games. Good grief. Nobody's even come close to winning that many games as a pitcher. But did you know he also lost 400 games? He just pitched a bunch of games, like 911 games or something like that. And he lost nearly as many as he won. But he's remembered because he just kept pitching. Fellas, let's just keep pitching. Let's just keep pitching. Now, what are the results of a determined Daniel and his friends? These guys, and they sung a moment ago, they wouldn't burn, they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow. And we know that. Well, first of all, we know that they can be trusted. They can be trusted. They didn't cave in, they've proven themselves, and now they can be trusted with responsibility. We read this over in 1 Kings 13, verse 8, about a prophet who would not cave in to the wicked king Jeroboam. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. He didn't cave in. He wasn't for sale. He could be trusted. He had that track record. There's another blessing that comes with persevering. And it's simply the joy of reaping. The joy of reaping. We read in Galatians 6, 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season, we keep praying and we'll see that prayer request realized. We'll see that ministry realized. In due season, we'll reap if we faint not. With God's help, we can persevere. Just keep on going. How many of you men have, speaking of Africa, how many of you men have rode a camel in your life? Any of you? Put that on your bucket list, okay? I actually got to ride a camel. And, you know, a camel, really, you see the sense of humor with God there. I mean, they not only look funny, but they walk funny. Their legs both do the same thing on both sides at the same time. And very unique animal. But one thing about them is they have this reservoir. They can take in enough water to last 7 or 8 days out in the hottest desert. And that's not all. Actually, they can adapt to any region they're in. And if they're running low on water, there's something that God's placed within them. It's a scent that in the distance they can smell some kind of spring or some fountain or a stream, and they can get their second wind. It invigorates them and they stride on. They keep going. You know, we need to catch the scent, if I could put it that way, or the wind of heaven in these last days, guys. And honestly, we are so close. God help us to hear well done. To hear well done. In James chapter 1 in verse 2, I'm sorry, I missed James 1, verse 2. Basically says, let's see if I can find it for you here. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's one of over 7,500 promises in the Bible. 7,500 promises from God. In Revelation 3 and verse 11, the Lord says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Notice there's that steadfast thing again. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And finish strong. The goal is to finish as strong or even stronger than you started out. Let me give you a few great verses out of Job. Job said, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. And then we read in Job 27, verse 6, my righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reprove me as so long as I live. And then in Job 17, 9, I like this one. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Guys, we don't have to coast in on fumes when this thing is over with. Bible speaks of being stronger and stronger. You know, in the life of a pen, or a pencil actually, you've got a pencil, a little instrument that's probably about 7 inches long, but in the life of a pen, it will draw it'll draw a line 35 miles long. Did you know that? I was thinking of that as I was driving through Faustin and Bagley and over here to Bemidji. I was going, okay, that pencil could probably write from Faustin all the way into Bemidji. One little 7-inch pencil. And it'll write about 45,000 words. It'll take about 20 sharpenings over that course of time. But we can take a lesson from the durable pencil to just keep on going. You know, Daniel started when he was about 18. We find him 70 years later. He's roughly 88. And he's still going faithfully, strong. There's an interesting verse in Ezekiel chapter 14. Here's Ezekiel, roughly a contemporary of Daniel's, around the same time. And God's speaking of judging Israel, but he says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they should not deliver but their own souls by their righteousness saith the Lord God. Notice it mentions these heavyweights, and Noah and Job. We've talked about them tonight. But there's Daniel amongst them. And you say, well, why? He finished strong. Now, anyone can start strong. How are we going to finish? How are we going to finish this thing? Bible tells us in Acts 13:43, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Notice the word continue. Continue in the grace of God. Tonight, I just like to admonish God's men to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And let's endure, and let's persevere, and let's be a determined Daniel. Amen. God help us. Let's close here in prayer, shall we?